Our reading this morning is going to be from the New Testament, the second half of the Bible, and it's from Matthew and chapter 11. That's on page 977 if you have a physical Bible, but it's also up on the screen. And we're going to read Matthew chapter 11 from verse 25 into chapter 12. Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. At that time, Jesus went through the cornfields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some ears of corn and eat them. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated, the holy bread, which is not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath, and yet are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Going on from that place, he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." And then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. We can leave our reading there. We can say our amen to it. It's God's word. We all experience stress, tiredness, and burdens. We experience them in different ways. We experience them for different reasons. We experience these kind of things at different times. And sometimes we can point to one factor, one reason, but often we can't. It's stress. It's like a tiredness. It's like a result from the snowballing layers and layers of just the complexity of life. It's the frailty of the body and the mind. It's the emotional heartbreaks. It's the pressures. It's the consequences of sin and the brokenness in this world, both our own brokenness and sin and other people's brokenness and sin. It can happen all at once, and we just don't understand it most of the time. It's very easy to look for relief and rest in all the wrong places. The right place to look for it is here in these verses. Verse 28 of chapter 11. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Come to me. That's Jesus' constant cry. Come to me. I want to focus on two main points this morning. Jesus gives us rest from religion, and rest is relationship. And as I go on, I'll expand both of these. So first of all then, rest from religion. A few years ago, there was a spoken word poem that went viral online, went everywhere. Everyone was sharing it on Facebook. And here's one of the verses. "Religion might preach grace, but another thing they practice. Tend to ridicule God's people. They did it to John the Baptist. They can't fix their problems, and so they just mask it, not realizing religion's like spraying perfume on a casket. See, the problem with religion is it never gets to the core. It's just behavior modification, like a long list of chores. Like, let's dress up the outside, make it look nice and neat. But it's funny that that's what they used to do with mummies, while the corpse rots underneath." My point that I'm wanting to take from that poem, that spoken word, is that Jesus gives rest from religion. Why am I bringing up religion? Well, context always helps us to see why something is being said. Jesus says that verse in chapter 11, verse 28, but why is he saying it here? Why? Well, straight after this, in the very next chapter, we see this. Now, Sundays, which is what we now see as the Sabbath, but the Sabbath day, the day of rest that God gave to mankind, it was given by God as a day to enjoy him, to rest from other things, and to spend time with him and taking the rest we need once a week, at least. But over time, people kept adding rules and rules and rules, and they made this Sabbath day into something else completely. We see this in this chapter, that the disciples were walking through a cornfield on a Sabbath, and they began to pick ears of corn and ate them. Now, anyone who's been in the countryside maybe knows that feeling. You're walking along a field, you're picking the grass, you're chewing on a long strand. And then after that, they went into a village and they were questioned on the fact that Jesus healed a man that had a withered hand on the Sabbath. I wouldn't want these guys to be in charge of the NHS. If I got ill on a Sunday, I'd be finished. But not only were they making up extra rules that God didn't even say, but they were ignoring the fact that having a day of rest and having this day of worship and having this day for God was made for our good. It's meant to be a great day. It's meant to be a joyful day. It's not meant to be an awful day. They'd made this day awful. What a faff their rules were and are. These extra rules, they were just behavior modification. Doing things to make you feel as if you're making it as a Christian, as if you're getting on, as if you're doing the things, getting on by. It's just dressing up a mummy while we rot in our hearts underneath. Religion always has the tendency to be a heavy weight on us, a burden. I mean, religion is just a simple word to describe certain beliefs. It's actually neutral. It can be good depending on the context, and it's talked about in the Bible as a good thing sometimes, and it can be used as a bad thing other times. But this is to do with twisted religion, with fake religion. It's a fake news version of what Jesus and Christianity and God is meant to be about. It's a fake idea of how to get into God's good books. People can twist Christianity and make it into a false religion. It happens actually constantly. Maybe you were brought up in a way that put way too much stress on following certain church rules, as if doing that thing in a specific way would keep you right with God. God would be happy with you if you did these certain things. You had this list. That's what your people or group or background or church, whatever it is, they stressed this list over all the others. Some of us can get really messed up because of these kind of experiences. Maybe you've got, actually on top of that or alongside that, maybe you've got your own version of religion. Oh, it's just being nice. You've decided that this is what religion is. You decided that this is what's going to make you right with God. I'm just going to be nice, do a good few things. That'll put me in God's good books. You know, it all balances out at the end of the day. At the end of the day, he's going to look at me and say, yeah, you're in. You'll get to heaven. That's fine. But I've made up the rules myself. It's my own version of religion. It's my own version of the list that I'm doing. I've just set the bar very low, and I'm in. Come on. Can that really cover up all the evil, all the sin, the brokenness, the mess in our lives, and that rebellion that we have in us towards God? Can doing a few things or keeping a certain list of rules, can that really put us right towards God? The one that we naturally rebel against? Look, we say it again and again up here, and we will always say it again and again. But so many of us still think that salvation, which is getting right with God, it's being saved out of a bad situation, you know, being broken and having evil in the world and being a mess up and being saved into having freedom and peace and joy and contentment and getting into heaven. We think that all of this is to do with our performance. And if it is, we're done for. It's as simple as that. And we will say that again and again. If it's to do with how you're performing, what you're up to, we're done for. If it's about me, and it's about what I can do and who I am, then I have nothing. But when we talk about Jesus as our Savior, he's not just the one who will save us from our sin, but he's also one who will save us from our attempt at religion. Because trying to do it yourself is impossible. We can't carry that weight. You go around with this burden that it's all on you, that it's down to you. That weight will end up crushing you. You don't need to. Look, real rest will always be out of our reach if it's on us. But here, Jesus is saying, rest is possible. He gives us rest from our idea of religion, our version of events, our style, our opinions, our performance. He gives us rest from that burden, that weight. The spoken word video that I mentioned earlier, it carried on. Now, back to the point, one thing is vital to mention, how Jesus and religion are on opposite spectrums. See, one's the work of God, but one's a man-made invention. See, one is the cure, but the other's the infection. See, because religion says I do, Jesus says done. Religion says slave, Jesus says son. Religion puts you in bondage while Jesus sets you free. Religion makes you blind, but Jesus makes you see. When Jesus says, come to me, he says, I will give you rest. It's a gift. One of the big reasons we get burdened, we get stressed, we get tired is because we feel it's all down to us. No, with Jesus, you don't need to do anything. This rest is available because on the cross, Jesus died to pay the cost for all of our sin and our mess and our evil hearts and our attempts. And Jesus said, "It is finished." Jesus says, "Done." Just accept this gift. Just enter that rest of simply believing, trusting, depending completely in Jesus. He's the one who can achieve this. He said in verse 27, "No one knows the Son except the Father." No one knows the Father except the Son. He's claiming equality with God. He's saying, "I am God." Which means he's the creator. Which means when we see in Matthew that he calms the storms, when he raises people from the dead, when he does miracles and heals people, he's not just doing it for the sake of it. He's doing it to show he is who he is and you can trust his words. We can't do it, but he can. With him, rest is possible because he's God. He's telling us who he is. And then verse 28, he's telling us, "Rest in me. Come to me. I will give you the finished rest that I've accomplished." But the verse carries on. The thought, the logic of this passage carries on. It's not just verse 28, and you get to these actually quite odd words. So verse 28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What is this yoke? Weren't we talking about rest? Why is now a yoke and a burden being spoken about? Well, it's because rest is also relationship. The poet William Ernest Henley, he wrote that famous poem Invictus. And the last two lines are some of the most famous in all of poetry. "I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." Prince Harry and those involved with the Invictus Games, they use this tagline. "I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." Now, in the West, we have this idea that real freedom is being answerable to no one. I'm in charge. I'm in charge of my own life. I say this because when you read on, we see these words, "Come to me, take my yoke upon you, and learn from me." My yoke, my burden. Now, the yoke is a farming picture that Jesus' listeners would have been quite familiar with. There was this yoke, this harness that joined two oxen together. And then they would plow the fields, but they would do it alongside one another. And where one went, the other followed. They were harnessed together, yoked together. They were connected together. When it says yoke, Jesus is talking about the personal relationship that he offers. He's saying, "Come and be in a connecting personal relationship with me. Come and be connected to me." But some of us find words like this very off-putting. I don't want to be yoked to anyone else. That would restrict me. Now, this is actually basically another religion today. I live my way. I did it my way. I make up my own rules. I'm the captain now. Imagine we all played a massive game of Monopoly. I don't know what that would look like. The board would have to be quite massive and the pieces would be way too big. But we're playing a massive game of Monopoly And that's a game that I have literally never played by the right rules. I've got absolutely no idea. I've never played a single game that's a normal game. It has always caused grief down the line of the game. It always causes some form of fallout between me and my brothers. I'm actually banned. I have not played it in 8 years because of an incident in Glasgow. I can't say any more than that. Like any game, it was designed to be played in a certain way. Now, if all of us here playing this massive game of Monopoly, if we all decided to play this game by our own rules, if we all made up our own way to play this game, then there's absolute chaos. Friends, we're reaping what we sow right now in the world. That's what we're seeing everywhere in the world right now. We're seeing chaos. We're seeing people do whatever they want to do, and people are getting hurt. Because when you think you can make up your own rules and live life your own way, people everywhere are living by their own rules. And it's not just out there. Oh, those people. Oh, it's us here too. We do it constantly. People are getting hurt. They're getting hurt in the news. They're getting hurt in Hollywood. They're getting hurt in politics. They're getting hurt in care homes and orphanages. They're getting hurt in our families. They're getting hurt in our churches. I get tired. I'm a terrible captain of my fate. And I'm a terrible master of my soul. I get stressed with myself and with others. So much is not working in our marriages, in our friendships, in our families, and in our churches. And it's because it's me, 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 I. Just look at your heart. Like I look at mine. It doesn't work. It's not working. So come to Jesus. He will give you rest. Be yoked, connected in relationship to Jesus, and learn and follow Jesus. It sounds restrictive, but it all depends who you're connected to. I mean, look at skydiving. It's jumping out of a plane. I've not done it. Sounds terrifying. But it's with a parachute made for two. People say it's an absolute buzz, but your life depends on the restriction of being attached to another person. You definitely don't want to be attached to a beginner. You want to be attached to an instructor. That's what Jesus says. Be connected. Be harnessed. Be yoked to me. I am God. I know you. I made you. Learn from me. Follow me. You see, in the rest that Jesus gives, verse 28, come to me, I will give you rest. In this rest, there is a work to be done. And in this work, there is your rest. Because of who your master, who your love is. You'll find rest for your soul. The demands of Jesus are radical. But they fit us. That's what we are made for. There was a great German TV clip from a couple of years ago where a woman and her father are cooking together in the kitchen. She's peeling away into a pan near the front of the screen, and her dad is chopping vegetables in the background. And the girl asks, Papa, how do you like the new iPad we got you? Oh, and he says, oh, good. Oh, I love it. And then he comes forward with the chopped vegetables to show that he's been cutting those vegetables on the iPad. He scrapes them into the pan. He goes over and he puts the iPad into the dishwasher. She's standing there completely, and he just goes, what? It's a great clip. It's hilarious to see. But he obviously didn't read the instruction manual that came with it. And that's us. We were designed and made by God. He made us for himself. He made us to be in relationship with himself. And we naturally veer off in our own hearts, even as Christians. Many of us well know that. But being yoked to Jesus in this personal relationship, it fits. We were made for a relationship with him. We don't work to get into the relationship, like I said earlier. We've got a rest from the demands of trying to work our way into heaven and being a certain way to get into God's good books. We're resting from that. That's not a burden for us. Jesus says it's finished. We don't work to get into the relationship, but once we're in, we follow the one we love. Learn from the one who loves you. Serve the one who is humble in heart. He's humble and he's gentle and he served you and me. He died on the cross for you and me. Serve him. It's a very light burden. That work. You do it joyfully because you're in a relationship. In the early days, I imagine, of marriage, as people tell me. In the early days, you do whatever you can for the other one. Maybe it fades, but you're so caught up with the love that you do things for them. It's a light burden to go and empty the dishwasher. You do it with a wee skip in your step, maybe. We don't just sit back inactive like we have some lifelong Sunday nap. In relationship, we were designed to follow the one who loves us. Now, it's hard. It can be very difficult. And the demands of Jesus, like I said, they are radical. They turn the world upside down. We're not to be content with just a plain old life with Jesus. We're capable of a lot more. It's hard, but it's home. It's genuinely where we belong. You will find rest for your souls serving Jesus. As I finish, some of us came to Jesus long ago. Do we need to hear this again? Are you still finding rest for your souls? It's very, very easy to switch out that connecting yoke, our focus on our relationship with Jesus, and it goes back to religion, which is our way of living, our sense of freedom. Christians are often messed up. Marriages, friendships, families, churches can fall apart because we think way too much of ourselves. We think way too much of our desires. We think way too much of our opinions. And our performance can make us despair, can make us get stressed. It goes up and down. No, Jesus says, come to me. You can't lose this relationship. It's yours if you come. And it's yours forever if you come. You are loved. You are accepted. You are married. You are forgiven. Rest in that again today. But Jesus says, learn from me. Love with my gentle love. Serve with my humble heart. Live like me. Live with me, live for me. All of you, all of us. Are you tired, weary, burdened? Come to Jesus. Right now, come to Jesus. He will give you rest. Amen. May the Lord bless to us these thoughts. As far as they are from Scripture, from God, as far as He is speaking to us, may they be true. May they be true for our hearts.